I want to talk to you this morning about the power of relationship. The power of relationship. And if you'd come in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, and I'll just read a couple of verses for you. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, hang on a minute, I'm in the wrong scripture. I just realized that I was in John instead of Acts. None of you actually said anything. Did I say Acts? You're too polite. How long would you have let me go on? Oh, dear. All right. Let's start again. I realize I'm thinking, what's going on here? So, Acts 3. We're talking about the lame man healed. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. All right, so to ask for a little bit of, you know, a little bit of coin. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, what did he say? Silver and I do not have, but what I have I give to you. Rise up and walk. Okay, we'll stop there for the moment. That'll do for now. There's plenty to preach just there. Okay, so here is a man that's making the most of a terrible situation. He's over 40 years old, the Bible says. And the man has been lame from his mother's womb. He knows nothing else. He has never walked, and he has no memory of it. And the truth is, if all you ever have seen is lameness, then it is highly unlikely you will develop an appetite for wholeness. It's simply not in your paradigm. If all you know is a certain way to live, it's very difficult to change, right? If all you know, I'll get into this. You see, it is not your model, it is not your upbringing. If all you have ever seen is poverty, if all you have ever seen is your parents behaving badly, if all you've ever seen is domestic violence, if all you have ever known is drinking, if all you have ever seen is in your situation, and you may like the idea of a good marriage or a happy family or a loving one another, but in reality, you'll probably pick the guy that actually you know that how they behave because that's all you know, and so you pick the guy that's actually already behaving badly rather than the good guy that maybe because it's too much of a paradigm shift for you. And I am here to say this morning that there is a way to progress. There is a way to lift yourself from that sort of thinking into a whole new paradigm. And this is not just, look, you could be in a situation this morning and you love God and you love Him with all your heart and you don't actually, none of those things actually remind you of yourself, but I'm sure that there's something in your life that you're stuck on. And God is the one who can progress it with you. Amen. And so this guy is lame from his mother's womb. And it may be that you're struggling all the time. It may be that you're fighting all the time, angry all the time, yelling at the kids all the time, rarely pleased, happy, kind, intimidated all your life, insecure all of your life, in fear all of your life. The list goes on, doesn't it? And you develop a norm around a nasty situation. Has your nasty become normal? He was lame all his life and he has built routine about it around his disability. Everyone say the word routine. Around his disability. And when you can't take a chance or risk in life, you will build in routine. I used to work with a man many, many years ago, and he was a clerk at an office I used to work in, and he was in his 60s back then, and he had driven the same car for quite a number of years, and he maintained it meticulously, and he had one of those houses where he's always out the front in the garden, and always making sure everything was well manicured, the lawn was well mown, and it was beautiful. And I even commented to him one day because I dropped him home one time and said, "You got a great garden," and everything about his life was ordered. But when I asked him to do something out of the ordinary or to do something different than what he had planned in his life, it's gone. Oh no, I can't do that. Oh no, I couldn't possibly do that. Oh no, that's just not who I am. You see, the difference between Christ followers and religious people, turn to your neighbour and say, don't be religious. The difference between Christ followers and religious people is one thing. Christ followers have something deep inside their heart, and that is faith. Faith. They have? A few of you are getting this. They have? We are made right with God through Romans 3. Have a look at it. You read the whole chapter. There's your homework for this week. Romans, including your soap. Okay, so we are made right with God through. We are justified through. We enter into a relationship with God because we've put our. One of these guys that did that this morning, they put their trust in. Trust in. Yeah. And so their trust is not in themselves. It's not in, it's not about the situation. Their trust is firmly in the hand of God. And we have a relationship with others in his church through our faith. Is anyone glad for the people around them? Yes. Some of you, okay. In him, okay, it translates, our faith translates, like we saw today, into acts of service, people wanting to serve God. And so let me talk about routine for a little while. My first point, routine. Daily, they laid him at the gate they called beautiful. The routine is built into his life. And when this man woke up, he did not expect to walk. He waited for somebody to come and get him. They carried him to the same spot daily. Many people got to know this man because he was at the same place every. And when you do the same thing every day, you forget what day it is. I mean, when you have a really good holiday, and I feel like one right now, actually. But anyway, I'm sure we all would love. Who loves to go on holiday? Who'd like to go on holiday? Okay, don't all go at once. But it's great to have holidays. But I was thinking, like, I can wake up one day. Maybe I'm down south. I like down south because I like to go surfing. And I'm my wife, and I say, "What day is it, darling?" "I think it's Tuesday," she might say. And actually, I get out my phone and I see that actually it could be Friday because I don't really know what day it is because they all mold into the same day because you're actually doing the same sort of thing. Oh, I don't need to worry about anything. And see, there's a certain routine. And maybe your life has been a life where every day you've ended up at the same spot. Same place every week. No change. Same conditions. Maybe different relationships, but same result. And Jesus did not come into the world for you to live in the same situation day in, day out, year in, year out. Jesus has come for you to make progress in this life. Jesus has come that you would rise up in your faith and take a hold of the promises that he has for you in his word. Jesus has come that you would actually accept what he has done for you, that he is risen and you're a risen person. You can accept the life of God and you can walk with him and have a far greater and wider and bigger life. See, when everybody looks the same, the light goes out in your eyes. When every day looks the same, the light goes out in your eyes. You don't have anything to look forward to, so why bother? It could cause you to be depressed. There can be no hope. There can be like, well, I don't have any future. And the lame man comes and lays at the same spot daily at a gate called Beautiful. Turn to your neighbor and say, Beautiful. Some of you can say you are beautiful if you want to. See, this gate was magnificent. I looked it up. It was a massive gate made of Corinthian bronze overlaid with gold and silver. It was 50 cubits high, which in our terms is 23 metres tall. Who thinks that's a big gate? I mean, Beatty Park, has anyone been to Beatty Park Tower? That's only 10 metres. This is 23 metres. It's 23 metres tall and it's 20 metres wide. And it took 20 men to open and close it. That's a huge gate, right? And it was designed to stand out as the most opulent of gates in the land. But there was an ugly problem at the beautiful gate. Have you ever had an ugly problem at a beautiful place? Everything looks beautiful on the outside, but inside you're in turmoil. Inside it's not so good. Inside you can't actually, even though how beautiful it is, it's very difficult for you. We've all been there, right? Well, those that admit it. I'm at a beautiful place, but internally I'm not beautiful. I'm tormented. I'm discouraged. I'm upset. I'm angry. It may only be a short-term thing, but we're there. We've all experienced this. And you can have a beautiful Christmas dinner set before you with the people you love, but when you open your mouth, everything turns... I have a nice family, but I'm grumpy all the time. I have a fantastic spouse, but I don't treat her so well. I have a good life. I live in WA, the best state in the whole of Australia. But I'm down about life. We are rich even if we're on the dole or on a pension in Australia. We're rich compared to the rest of the world. And yet we're struggling to be grateful. It is the contrast of this man's life. How can it be the best of times, yet the worst of times? And here I am. Man, we have it so good in this place. And he's laid daily at the gate, beautiful. Oh, but he's in an ugly problem and it stops him from getting beyond the gate. You do not want to be in this situation when you're with Jesus at the gateway to heaven. You do not want to be holding on to unforgiveness, some hidden thing, lazy, unappreciative, complaining when you get to the gates of heaven. We know what happened to the Israelites for all their complaining. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop complaining. It's easier said than done, isn't it, church? If we're honest with ourselves. Because we always think about the negative first. And I think that when we have faith in God, we have something else. There is a positivity that comes from knowing Him. We've got to draw on it. See, a gate, he's at the gate, beautiful. Ugly problem, he's never got through to the other side. A gate is access. And every day they led him close to something he could not get into. So close, but so far. So close, but? Are you tired of being close? I almost didn't get angry. I almost didn't complain. I almost got that job. I almost got free. I almost prayed. I almost read my Bible. I almost made a new friend. And every day the same, almost through the gate. And he's laid daily at a place of access which he cannot get into. Everybody was going in, but he was going near. I'm a good person. I don't hurt anyone. Everybody else is going in, but I'm just sitting here getting frustrated watching everyone else go in. You start to believe maybe that's not me. Maybe I'm not meant to be like that person. I'm not supposed to go in. I'm not supposed to be happy. I'm not meant to be loved. I'm telling you, church, that everyone that is in the house of God, that everyone that's in this world, there's 8 billion people on the planet, and Jesus died for every single one of them, and he wants to give you access to the throne room of heaven. I would have got further if my dad hadn't. I'm not supposed to. I would have been all right if that hadn't happened. It's not my fault that. Excuses comfort incapacity. But other people have been where you are and they have got through. And God wants you to know today that the gate is access and opportunity. Your life does not have to be routine. Turn to your neighbour and say, mix your life up a bit. See, your life does not need to be normal. It does not need to be ritualistic. It does not need to be mundane. You and I have a choice. Yes, you've got to go to work, and okay, most of you may need to go to the office and do that thing, but it doesn't mean it has to be the same old. That's up to you. It doesn't mean that you can't spice up your life and go a different way to work every now and then rather than taking the same route. It doesn't. You don't know what God can do. And so you and I have a choice in life. And you can live the life you expect, or if you want more, you can have more. So one, routine. Two, relationship. I'm going to walk through my gates. Do you agree with me? I'm going to walk through my gates. And who knows that God's got more than one gate for you? I mean, we're just talking an analogy here, right, this morning. I'm going to walk through the gates that are put in front of me that I know that God wants me to run through. See, I'm going to walk through every gate God gives me. I'm not too old. I'm not too young. I'm not too fat. I'm not too short. I'm not too skinny. I'm not too anything. God's made me the way I am, and I'm going to walk through every gate that he brings into my life. You see, my God has given me access through Jesus Christ just like everybody else. It doesn't matter what skin color, doesn't matter what hair or you don't have hair. It just matters that Jesus is a part of your life as he is mine, and everybody that has accepted him, we can have faith in him and trust him for our life. And we have access to more things than we actually recognize that we have access to. Is Jesus beautiful? Is that a beautiful gate? Yes. What do you think he wants to make you? Oh, the lady said beautiful. He wants to make you men? Handsome. Thank you. I was waiting for it. One of the ladies had to point out to the men, we're a bit dim sometimes. All right. So, well, what about this then? If God brings a gate in front of me, excuse me, I'm going through. Excuse me, I'm going through. Excuse me, I'm going through. Excuse me, I asked Barry 10 minutes before, will you do the honouring of Susan? He did a pretty good job, right? Excuse me, I'm going through. Oh, you didn't give me any time to prepare. If he'd said that, he would have been in a lot of trouble, buddies. I have serious prayer for healing, but I'm staying hidden. Help through others, but I'm not going to connect group. Or if I do, well, I'm not going to heed what other people tell me. Why would I want to do that? I got my life sorted. What about the Word of God? Helpful values and standards to help my life do well. It's called the Bible. You've got to open it, and then you've actually got to read it. Talking with a Filipino Connect group last night, you know. B-I-B-L-E. Book of instructions before I leave Earth. But if we don't have reading it, it could be an interesting day when we meet our Lord. He has given you access 24/7. Religion is throwing a few coins in a plate. It's routine. It's likely it comes from some fear to keep you showing up at the gate but never experiencing the beautiful that Jesus has for you. So you can go to that church for 35 years and not be any better than when you started 35 years ago, not growing, just there, just doing the routine. All you expect, like the lame man, is just a few coins in the cup. But then, all of a sudden, comes relationship. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to be in relationship. Now ask your neighbor, did you mean that? We might have some new romances starting this morning. Oh, that's funny. All right. See, relationship will always wear religion out. Relationship will always step over the top of routine. Relationship is coming into your life to upset your routine. Now, it's around, back to the story, it's around 2 years ago. 2 years after the resurrection of Jesus, and here comes Peter and John up to the temple. Now, every major place Jesus went, he took Peter, James, and they had relationship. And when you have relationship with Jesus, you learn to expect something different every day of your life. Is this making sense? You expect something different every day of your life. So if you only live like a Christian on Sunday, if you simply turn up and go again, if you just turn up out of duty, you don't have a relationship with God, you have religion with the church. Until church gets into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, you're just religious. See, the lame man is routine. He is laid daily at the gate. The temple is religion. All they knew how to do was drop coins into his cup on the way to the temple. But Peter and John had relationship with the Son of God. Has anyone here got a relationship with the Son of God today? And so they have relationship. There was no routine to who they were. They were in relationship with Jesus. They were prepared for anything that God would have for them. They were open to him. Oh, will you be open to what God has for you? Will you be open to what he has for you? Because things are not going to be routine when you have a relationship with Jesus. They are going to be abnormal. They are going to be, though, extraordinary. They are going to be transformative for both you and for the other person that you're in contact with. And relationship walked up to the lame man and said, "Silver and gold I do not." Now, Peter is standing in front of the most opulent gold-plated door in the land. We've just described it. But relationship says, "I'm not too flashy. I'm not too proud. I'm not too stuck up in who I am. I'm not too impressive. I don't need to make a name for myself. But I know who I am. I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold, but what I do have, I give to you. I know you are used to people dropping a few coins in your cup. But God has something better than anything that ever hit your cup. God can do something far greater. Who'd like Jesus to do something greater in a situation that you're facing today? Come on, lift your hand. Who'd like God to do something that you know that is difficult, that you'd like to see a transference of his power to change it? It's going to take your faith. Are we rising up, church? And so, silver and gold, I have none. This is going to be beyond the realms of your expectations. You have been functioning at a lower level than what God intends for your life. You expect to receive something, a few coins to get you by. It's enough for today. It's not a future. But God is not going to play into your expectations. Peter and John would not have gone to the temple broke. When you come to church, you don't come to church. Oh, a few of you got that. When you come to church, you don't come to church. You see, giving was a part of the worship experience even back then. And they knew from hanging with Jesus and their deep faith that you don't ever go to church broke. Peter and John are in a different dimension. I didn't come to give you a few coins. I didn't come to help you to get you by for another day. Silver and gold will not fix your problem. Oh, that's true, isn't it? Silver and gold will never fix anybody's problem. And what Peter and John were really saying was, I will not give you what will not work. And silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, they did not pray for the man a long-winded prayer. They did not come up to him and go, oh, is this the Lord's will that he be healed today? They did not do anything. They simply, with what they knew of Jesus in their heart, and they said, rise up. Thank you, Sandy. He was a bit worried there. He had that look. See? They spoke to his condition. Rise up and walk. See, Jesus has spoken to your condition. It's called Easter. He chose to rise up on that cross. He took action against your sin. He took action against your death. He took action against your sickness. He took action against your hopelessness. And Peter and John, they were not concerned about whether it was the right time right now. They weren't thinking about what if. Who's got a situation where they're thinking, but what if? It's easy to go there, right? It's easy to think, well, I'm prepared to actually stretch out my what? Just go to the risk factor, trust God with what he's put in your heart and see what God can do. You see, Peter and John commanded his condition. They spoke directly to the circumstances. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Rise up. Turn to your neighbor and say, rise up. Say it again. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up and walk. You see, let's go to verse 7. Acts 3:7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Wow. Now, the writer of Acts is Luke, and he's a physician. He's a doctor. And he's stating that Jesus' power worked instantly to overcome this man's disability. The people in the temple knew immediately it was the lame man at the temple gate. This was an authentic miracle. There was no denying it. And what the power of relationship can achieve in our lives if we just allow him access. We all have an opportunity. Music team, please come. We all have an opportunity this week to rise up and see a friend, a family member, a colleague transformed by what we have within us. We all have access to the most beautiful of beautiful. His name is? And there is no situation that when we access our and put our trust in God, and when we put our hope in Him, without cause for what may be. Pretty bold move, hey? The guy's been lame for 40 years. They would have pulled him up. Will you put your faith in God today and know that you have access to anything that God has for you? And so can we even think about this for this week? Friday we have a service, Sunday we have services. Take that Easter brochure and thank you, Lord, for an opportunity that may change someone's life forever. Thank you that I can talk to somebody about what I know that I have deep inside of my heart, because I've got faith. Does anyone have faith this morning? I've got faith. And so I'm going to be what you've made me to be. I'm going to rise up and I'm going to trust you with all I am, and I'm going to see people that I thought were impossible, but nothing's impossible to God. So I'm going to put my trust and my access in the most beautiful of beautiful today. I'll trust him. See, faith rises up. Routine withholds and restricts. Can we stand to our feet, church? Will you raise your hands to receive from God today? I want to pray for every one of us this morning. Father, I pray that as we've raised our hands for every, let's individualize this. I thank you, Lord, that you have given me access. I thank you, Lord, that I have faith in you. And I thank you, Lord, that my future is bright. I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to a place far greater than I have right now. It's not relying on silver and gold. It's not relying on the things of this earth. It's not relying on what I can make my life to be. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm made whole through relationship with you. The power is in the relationship. And today I will rise up and claim my inheritance. Today I will rise above that situation. And thank you, Lord, that there is hope. There is a future.